Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome into another edition of the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. A reminder, this weekend, it's coming up quick. We're on Thursday already, and tomorrow, technically, is the beginning of Chicago Ghost Con, and you can get your tickets. There are so few of them left, folks, that you want to get them right away. Either darknessevents.com, or there may be one or two left at the door this weekend. You can take your chances and show up and see if you've got a ticket available there. Otherwise, go to darknessevents.com, click on the banner, reserve your ticket for Chicago Ghost Con. It's the last convention of the year that Dave and I will both be attending together. So make sure that you get your tickets. Come out and see us this weekend. It's fall in Chicago. It's absolutely wonderful. There are going to be some great speakers out there. Jeff Mudgett will be out there talking about the behind the scenes of the American Ripper series on History Channel. Jeff Belanger will be there as well. Lots of great paranormal speakers. They'll be talking about not just ghosts, but everything from Mothman to our topic tonight, Sasquatch, to everything. It's not just ghosts out there. The Chicago Ghost Con is taking place out in Lombard, Illinois. And the hotel for the convention, I believe, is out at out near O'Hare at the airport, the Embassy Suites there. So lots of good stuff. Again, darknessevents.com. Come out and see Dave and I this weekend at Chicago Ghost Con. I want to remind you guys about the Halloween for Hunger campaign that we have going on in the month of October. Now, it's real easy. What we're doing is we're kind of giving back in the month of October. That's kind of like our Christmas time. So what we do is we like to give back at the Halloween season in October. And we'd like you to help us help others. And this year, as in many other years in the past, we like to contribute to charity. And our charity this year is Second Harvest Heartland. Now, if you're not familiar with Second Harvest Heartland, they supply a lot of the food shelves with food, not only around the Midwest, but around the country. So what we want to do is we want to help feed families everywhere in America here this fall during the harvest season. And it's real simple. Here's what you do. We have a banner on the darknessradio.com page, Halloween for Hunger. So all you have to do is go over there, click on that banner, and you can donate anywhere from a couple of bucks to as much as you feel your generous self wants to give. Now, keep in mind that your dollar goes a long way with Second Harvest Heartland. In fact, just $1 provides three meals for a family in need. Think about that. $1 provides three meals for a family in need. Now, on the website, when you go to Second Harvest Heartland, you can donate any amount, but there's increments of $25, $50, $100, however you want, generous you want to be. But you can donate a dollar if you only have a dollar, $5 if you only have $5, whatever amount you have. Our goal is 45,000 meals for this season. And between us here at Beyond the Darkness, between Coast to Coast AM, and between other shows that we'll be appearing on throughout the fall season, throughout October, we're hoping to hit 45,000 meals. Now, we know we can do it. We know you can do it. That's the thing. Dave and I have very little to do with this, but we know that you can do it. You're a very generous audience. You're a very giving and loving audience, and that's what we love about you guys. So we're asking for that little extra drive this year and to help us help others during this season. It's a very important season. This is the season where food shelves really start to run out of supplies. And so we want to fill those food shelves and have the food shelves ready for the holiday season. And we know that you can help us help them. So please do that. Go to darknessradio.com. The banner is right at the top of the page. It's for Second Harvest Heartland, Halloween for Hunger, and Help a Family in Need Today. And we thank you ahead of time for your generous donation. Tonight, folks, we have a very, very interesting show. I'm fascinated by this entire topic. We get lots of emails from people who have had encounters with Sasquatch, and we've talked to a lot of people who have had encounters with Sasquatch, some good, not so good. And this encounter is more than unusual and intriguing, to say the least. Samara Terpening is our guest tonight, and she not only has just had the encounter with Sasquatch, but she's taken things away from Sasquatch. Not only an ability to be healed by Sasquatch, but the ability to heal as well. And I'm just going to bring her in, and we're just going to sit down and have an old-fashioned talk about it. Samara, welcome to the Beyond the Darkness. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm really excited.
Well, thank you for being here. I'm excited too. You know, it's one thing to say, you know, I've met Sasquatch, or I run into Sasquatch out in the wild. It's another to say, I think I saw him, or I think I had that creepy feeling that he's behind me. It's another to say, you know what, I had a full-blown encounter, and it's another to say, I communicate with them. Now, I want you to kind of set this up for us. Now, before you met Sasquatch, you yourself were not, let's say, in the best of health, were you? It was kind of you were having a rough go of it.
Yeah, I was pretty much a mess, physically and mentally. It was the dark days of my life, and I think that's kind of it's helped me. Where to begin? The main thing was my spine. I had a failed spinal fusion. Mm-hmm. And I had had back pain for over 30 years. It was pretty severe. When I was a teenager, every month when I started my cycle, I would have such horrible back pain, I would throw up. I'd go to the nurse's office, and she'd just send me home. It was really very painful. And then when I had my children, I had back labor, and the pain was the same that I had had every month. I didn't realize it. I thought it was going to get worse. And by the time I got to the hospital, I was dilated to a 9. And the pain was the same as my monthly pain. So I was very much used to that horrible pain, but I just went through my life. It started to get worse later on. Then I found out that I had 5 cysts growing in my spinal cord, and they're inoperable because they're surrounded. It's actually in the sheath that covers the cord.
Yikes.
So there's nerves all around it. And some of them are so big, they're pushing the nerve root into the bone.
Ah.
So much. Yeah, the bone is starting to wear away from the nerve root being pushed against it. So it was very painful. I had the surgery. It didn't work. The bone didn't grow in. I was in even more pain. I was in bed for about 2 years after the surgery. I had a walker. I had a wheelchair to go around with. It was really, really horrible. On top of that, I had Hashimoto's thyroid disease. It's an autoimmune disease. Been thinking that I have lupus, and I had carpal tunnel in both wrists. I had major depression, the pain and not being able to go out. I had also been assaulted on an airplane, and very similar to what Donald Trump talks about.
Yeah.
And what someone accused him of. But I had that, and then I was assaulted again by a stranger, and I dislocated my shoulder. So I was afraid to leave the house, and I had PTSD from those experiences. I had terrible migraines. Again, I was pretty much a mess, and I started to go shooting. To, you know, I thought, well, if I knew how to use a gun, I would get out more. It would make me feel safer. And I didn't want to carry around a gun and not know how to use it. I wanted it to be second nature. So I started shooting, and I was a natural at it. I entered competitions, and just months after I started shooting, I got first place in my category at a Glock competition. I did that two times, and so I went out in the woods to start shooting to practice, and that's where I ran into Sasquatch.
Okay, so now set that up for me. You decide to go out in the woods that day. Now I take it it's kind of hard for you to get out there to shoot to begin with. So you're getting up the and anybody who suffers with any type of chronic pain knows what kind of effort it takes to get up to get out there to the woods to do that in the first place. But it's something you're looking forward to.
And I couldn't take pain medicine. I just threw everything up as soon as went in, it came out. But after the surgery, I was on the morphine drip.
Yep.
And that worked great. They couldn't send me home with the morphine drip. So the only pain medication that I could take was hydromorphone, which, you know, if you take that, you pretty much can't go out anyway. And they don't like to have people on large doses of that for a long time. And I really didn't want to do that. I had two stepbrothers that passed away from drug-related things. And so I was really wanting to avoid pain medicine. I was going to Seattle Pain Clinic, and they were having me do biofeedback and all sorts of different things. And one thing they had me try was energy work. And I had heard about that, but never had it done. And this was, she had a PhD, and it was at the hospital, and she just moved her hands over me. And I thought, well, this is, you know, strange, but I'll keep an open mind. I mean, I was willing to try anything. And after that, my pain decreased quite a bit. And the next visit that I had with her, I had my eyes shut, and I could see her hands moving with my eyes shut. And I opened my eyes, and I could see her hands were where I saw them with my eyes shut. So it was a pretty incredible experience. But that kind of, I think, helped to unlock some of these other abilities that I started to develop later, I think.
So you get out to the woods, and you're at a point where you're getting ready to shoot, and I take it it's a normal activity or a normal day. You're probably not thinking, I wonder if I'm going to see something unusual, or are you? Are you thinking that when you get out there to the woods?
No. You know, other than Harry and the Hendersons, I've never really thought about Sasquatch. My daughter had seen a scary movie just prior to us going shooting, and where we were going to go shooting, she said, oh, that's the Bigfoot Highway, and they're going to take you. And I said, well, we've got our guns, we'll be fine. But really wasn't thinking much of it. But when we got to the area, my husband, he had to pee, so he went over to the side, you know, and he said, well, this will keep the Sam Squanches away. And I was down setting up the targets. Well, right away, we smelt this horrible smell, and I had heard that that was associated with Sasquatch. And I thought, oh my gosh, there's no way. But it was a smell unlike, it was kind of like dead animals, rotten salmon. It's very specifically salmon-y smelling. It was just a combination of, and there was a little bit of snow on the ground. I thought, you know, there can't be a bear coming around with a dead salmon. You know, I was running through all these things, what the smell could be.
Right.
And then I got this picture in my head of a Sasquatch. And this isn't something that happened a lot to me, getting pictures in my head, but it was very, very similar to the experience I had at the doctor's office, where I could see her hands moving with my eyes shut. So I looked over in the area where I saw him, but I couldn't see him with my eyes. And then I could feel like his essence, you know, that he was a young male and he was kind of angry and, you know, like, and then I heard, "You think you can keep me away with your pee? I could just kill you." Like, you know, that's ridiculous.
Whoa.
And I heard him say, "I could just kill you," but I wasn't afraid at any moment, which, you know, looking back, I should have been terrified, but, mm-hmm. but, part of that transfer of essence was his intent and emotion, you know, which is telepathy, the whole download. It's not words, and, you know, "Hi, how are you? I'm fine." It's everything. And I got everything from him. And when I heard that, I thought in my head, and it was just so natural, this communication, I didn't even think about it, but I just thought in my mind, why would you want to hurt us? What did we do? And then he kind of got embarrassed, like, "Oh my gosh, she could hear me," which I guess people aren't usually open to that. And so then he said, "Oh, I just don't want a big mess up here, like down in the other area where people have blown up paint cans and things like that." Mm-hmm. And right when I heard that, my husband said out loud, "We've got to be sure and clean up all of our shells like we always do." And I thought, that's an odd statement, you know, to make. And I looked down at him. He was looking in the area where I felt the Sasquatch was. So that was our first experience with Sasquatch. It was kind of a three-way telepathic conversation. And if my husband hadn't experienced it with me, I think I might have, you know, made excuses and blown it off and thought, "Oh, it's just my imagination," or something. But they kept teaching me, showing me that they were real. And I think it was that I was open to listening to him, and that I was able to communicate that way.
Okay.
That they followed me home and started to teach me to trust that communication. Because I thought I was crazy. I went to three different psychiatric professionals to make sure. And none of them at any time thought I was crazy or suggested medication or anything. They all thought that was okay, that I'm telling them I'm communicating with a Sasquatch telepathically.
That's all kind of cavalier.
Which to me,
Samara,
sounds crazy.
It's very cavalier just to say they just followed me home. That you know.
I know. Well, at the time it was crazy, but now it's normal. And I shouldn't say normal. I've talked to hundreds of people that they do. They follow you home and they'll peek in your window, and you know, that's a whole nother thing. My husband thought I was. He's very supportive, mm-hmm. and you know, but he was having a hard time accepting when I said, "I just know they're watching me through the window." So, do you want to hear about that?
Well, yeah. What is it now, as a husband and a defender of the household, mm-hmm. I guess in a stereotypical kind of way, and a guy who shoots a gun, isn't he kind of apt to want to go out and try and, I don't know, use a gun on these things?
Well, he was raised in Northern Ireland. And so he said the reason that he just said out loud, you know, "We got to be sure and clean up our shells," is because he was taught when you go into, you know, haunted house or, you know, the old castles or out in the woods and you feel an energy, you just let them know what you're doing. You know, like, "Oh, we're just here for a picnic. We're going to be leaving. We don't want to, you know, disturb you or don't want any problems." He's had some interesting experiences of his own, but you know, he comes from a long line of druids, and you know, they even in Ireland, like, you can ask somebody about fairies and they'll say, "Oh, they don't believe in fairies," but they'll leave milk out for the fairies, or they build roads around the fairy bushes, mm-hmm. just in case, because if it's you know, bad luck to cut down the fairy bush. So they literally build the highway around the fairy bush,
right?
So to him, it was kind of more normal. I was raised in a really religious family. I saw ghosts. I had an angel heal me when I was little, and my family just, you know, said it was you know, my imagination. They blamed marshmallows.
They blame marshmallows?
Yeah, when I saw some orbs when we were camping, they were like large basketball-sized balls of light. They were very solid. Mm-hmm. And as soon as I had the thought, you know, I wonder if anybody else is seeing this, they all three, after just hovering there for, you know, it seemed like a minute, they all three took off at the same time to the side and just shot off. And then I looked down, nobody was looking up. And when I told my family, you know, I just saw this, anybody else see it? They said, oh, you've had too many marshmallows. So, you know, it was always something, you know, apparently marshmallows can make you hallucinate. But, huh. You know, so I shut off all of that. And like I said, I think after seeing that doctor and having the energy work done, that maybe opened up that ability again. Because I had dreams that were coming true when I was a teenager, and it scared me, and other people got scared by that. You know, even I think my stepmother called me a witch. You know, that's like the go-to thing for people. Uh-huh. Even though there's all sorts of that in the Bible, like one-third of the Bible is from dreams and visions. So, you know, but in our society now, even being raised in a super religious family, they didn't want to believe in an angel or, you know, that there is some other senses, you know, that dreams can come true or be, you know, see what, you know, show you what's going to happen.
Now, with your husband, I'm still trying to wrap my head around if my wife comes to me and says, honey, the Sasquatch followed me home. Mm-hmm. And they're peeking through our windows, but don't be alarmed. They're here to help me.
Yeah. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know that at the time. I just thought they were following home, which is alarming.
Right. That's very alarming.
In the woods, you're like, okay, they're in the woods. We just don't have to go out there again. But when they come to your house, it's a different thing. And the only thing I had to go by is I felt them watching me through the window, and I could see in my mind's eye or third eye or second vision, whatever you want to call it, which again was a new thing to me. Mm-hmm. I could see them in the window looking at me, at like a mom and a baby. I could see them in my mind clear as day looking at me, but I couldn't see them with my eyes. So I thought, well, this is strange. I'm just going to shut the window. And then I heard, I put a report into a Bigfoot online reporting thing, and this fellow called me up, and he said, oh, I don't want to alarm you, but they're probably coming to your house. And I said, no way. I didn't want to tell him that because I thought he would think I was crazy. I didn't know anything about them, but he confirmed lots of people have telepathic communications with Sasquatch. And like I said, I've talked to hundreds of people who have, they just don't want to talk about it because it is so odd. You know, and it's hard to put yourself out there and talk about this. But he said that they're probably coming to your house. And I said, I think they are. And I heard this loud smack on the side of the house, and it shook the house. It was like a sonic boom. I went out. Couldn't find anything that could have caused a sound. And he said, oh yeah, that's something they do. They like to hit the side of houses. And I was like, oh, okay, that's just what they do.
But why do they do that? Why do they hit the side of your house?
Well, when he did that, they just are saying hello. They're like, oh, hey, we're here. They're being playful. They're very playful.
But don't you have a doorbell?
I know. Well, and that's the thing too. It is a cultural thing. It's when you go out looking for Sasquatch, people, you know, if you go out with guns trying to hunt them down, they'll throw rocks, scream, or, you know, stay away, mm-hmm. push over trees, stuff like that. If you go out to meditate and you're admiring the plants and being full of love and light, then they'll leave you gifts, or you know, your experience will be different. And this is kind of, you know, what I've learned from talking to hundreds of people and my own experiences and kind of what they've shown me through dreams and things. When they came to the house, so after, you know, this professional told me that they could come to my house, he also said they can read your mind, which I kind of knew, but, you know, had trouble accepting. And he said, so if you tell them don't come in your house, they'll respect that. And I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, yeah, they'll come in people's houses. And I thought, no way. Oh. You know that. Yeah, I know. No. I know. Yeah, I'm going to put a sign on the door. No Sasquatch. So, you know, but I did feel like they would respect me, you know, and the little bit of experience I'd had with them in the woods, you know, I thought, you know, oh, they'll respect me. So that night I heard the side gate shut and then these big, heavy foot stomps coming to my window. I had an air conditioner in the window, a small air conditioner, and then a piece of cardboard next to it. So there was a piece of cardboard protecting me from the Sasquatch.
Is it magical cardboard?
I know. I'm like, it was just a piece of cardboard. I know. But I could feel his, again, like essence. He was excited. So a younger, you know, I'd say like 21, you know, a younger male. And he was excited that I could hear them or talk with them. And it felt like he was just excited to get to know a human. And I could hear the footsteps coming up to the window. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And so I was excited, too, wondering, you know, what is he going to say? You know, what's going to happen? And he got to the window. And I could see in my mind's eye the Sasquatch, but he had a round head. And I thought, well, that can't be a Sasquatch. They don't have round heads. They're cone-shaped. But they do have round heads. I found that out. And he was black, and I thought they were all red. But they're all different colors. And then the next day I did find the footprints, and there was black hair in my air conditioner. So, you know, backed up what I was seeing in my mind. And again, I think that was part of them teaching me to trust that, because they kept leaving signs to trust what I was seeing in my mind. But he was right outside the window, 3 feet away.
So at that point, you've got black hair in your air conditioner. Do you grab that hair for a sample, or do you even think like that?
The guy, I told him the next day that, you know, oh, I heard him come outside, and he said, you know, have you checked out there? And I said, no. So I went out. He told me to get tweezers and put it in an envelope and all that. So, but apparently it's real expensive to get tested, and they've done lots of testing, and it's shown that they are, you know, they've had hair, but people don't accept it. And, you know, there's all this controversy on it. So a lot of things in science, if it doesn't go along with what they've had, you know, with their narrative, they just kind of dismiss a lot of it. So I don't know. There's a lot of controversy with that. And I was more about having a relationship than, you know, proving to anyone that they were real. And,
okay.
And so I didn't test it, but when the Sasquatch came up to the window, he sniffed really deep, like a bull, two big breaths in and then out really loud. And that startled me. I didn't feel like I was in danger. Like, I knew he wouldn't hurt me, but that to me seemed very primal. And so, you know, I did what the man on the internet told me, because he said that they will take women for mates. And so I did what he said, and I said, don't come in the house. And he just got so sad, and he just walked away all depressed. And he knew why I didn't want him to come in the house, that I thought he was going to take me. You know, he was just so disgusted at that thought. And, you know, it taught me to, you know, think about them as emotional beings. They have feelings. And, you know, I basically was accusing him of, you know, being a terrible person by that. And he just wanted to talk. So I quit listening to what other people told me to do and went back to intuitive.
So that leads to an interesting question here. You said that you were told that they had actually wanted to take human females for mates.
Mm-hmm. And that's what my daughter had seen in the movie. Okay. So I had two people telling me that they wanted to take me. But I've done research and...
You're saying that they don't?
No. In the past, there's some stories, and the one I looked up, the original stories, because people say, oh, the Native Americans said this. And so I looked up the original story, not the one that the white man wrote down. But mm-hmm. it was a woman left with the Sasquatch of her own free will. He treated her better, was a better hunter, and she was in love. So her boyfriend that she left for the Sasquatch said, you know, they're taking our women. We've got to go hunt them down. And so the boys and the tribe went and they killed them both. So it was, you know, oh, they took our women, but it wasn't kidnapping. And then there are some other stories where they take people. It's usually to help them. And then they'll bring them back. Like they keep them through the winter because they're lost out in the snow. And then they take them back later.
Hmm.
But I haven't researched it a lot. It could have happened in the past. I'm not saying it doesn't ever happen, but I've never felt afraid. And I've been around them in all different states and talked to lots of other women who have good, positive relationships with them. And, you know, I don't know anybody personally who has had somebody taken.
I'm interested because there was a guest we had on a while back, and she had said that I think this was a sighting up in not North Dakota. I'm trying to think of where exactly it was, but she had said that they sometimes would use their children, the Sasquatch children, to lure in other children, and those children would go missing, human children. What do you know of that, or have you heard of something like that? And what exactly is that to be interpreted?
You know, I'd have to look at, you know, the story. I haven't heard anything specifically of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, one point that my husband made since growing up in Ireland, he said that the Sasquatch were fairies. In the beginning, okay. Fairies are shapeshifters, and he also has a degree in Native American studies and taught on the reservation. And you know, there's stories there of Sasquatch taking children, but it was a parable, and then the children came back, but the children weren't afraid of this the basket woman. But there aren't even, so that the Bigfoot, website that I made my report to happened to be run by a man who writes books about missing people in national parks. And it doesn't say in the book specifically what he thinks it is, because mm-hmm. all board. But so my husband said, you know, it could be fairies, could be Sasquatch. A lot of people don't know this, but fairies used to, you know, in old Irish texts, fly around in cauldrons, and they'd take people and have them come back. So very much like the gray aliens, you know. So I think all of these beings, ETs, fairies, Sasquatch, could be the same type of thing. There was one guest on your show that used the word others, just referred to the
yep,
others.
Yep.
It could just be all the same kind of thing. They're fairies, ETs, Sasquatch, you know, can be shapeshifters, could be all the same energy. Who knows? I go by the energy that I feel, you know, like a dog or a child knows if it's, if the person's good or bad. And, you know, dogs and horses could kill us, but we have them as pets. If you run into a dog in an alley, you don't automatically assume he's going to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
But you can tell by body language and, you know, energy, things like that. So I have seen Sasquatch or beings in the shape of Sasquatch, but they, I used to call them shadow people, but I found out that was a thing.
Yeah.
It was scary, but it's not the quote unquote shadow people that people talk about. But I have seen different beings in different sizes and buildings and things like that. And it looks like, I call it plasma because I don't know, but it's like thick 3D shadow smoke, but it doesn't behave like smoke, you know, but it's just like you or I, as if we were a 3D shadow, you know, kind of solid. Mm-hmm. And I was meditating once with a group of people, and we had crystal bowls and all that stuff. So I think my vibration was higher. I was in a really good mood. And when I opened my eyes from the meditation, all of the man-made things, the walls, chairs, the desk, looked like smoke, like that plasma-y smoke shadow. And I could see a huge tree trunk there. So I don't know if I was seeing another plane or dimension that was existing simultaneously with us, or maybe it was another time, something like that. But the shadows to me, I think, are just maybe as beings appear coming through different dimensions or frequencies. You know, on a radio, mm-hmm. we all light, everything has different frequencies. So maybe as you're turning the dial, you know, they're more fuzzy. And as you get locked on to the proper frequency, you can see more clearly. So I think that that could be a lot of the shadow beings. Because my father, when he was in the hospital, he said that he saw little shadow things, but they weren't evil. And I said, no, just because they're black doesn't mean they're evil. Or glowing eyes doesn't mean it's evil.
Right.
You go by the energy. Because he was really confused. They were playful. And he said, why would they be at the hospital? And I said, well, the hospital, you've got babies, people coming into the world, mm-hmm. people dying, going out of the world. So it could be a portal or, you know, I'm learning all these, all this terminology, you know, chakras and portals and right. shadow people, things like that. It wasn't anything that I had studied before. But now being thrust into this and just keeping my mind open, I've seen all sorts of things. And I think keeping your mind closed or having these, you know, children, they run around in the woods, they're happy, they see things, they learn, they don't have these preconceived things. And as they start to learn, like, oh, don't touch the frog, it's icky, you'll die of germs, you know, then they, right. you know, back off. But if you look at things with wonder and don't judge good or bad, you can have more experiences and learn more. Because our brain will cut out anything it thinks is a hallucination over 10 seconds. If a Sasquatch went streaking by within 10 seconds, your brain would say, oh, that's a hallucination. We'll not tell her about that. But your body still reacts to that because you did see it. So, you know, you might be a little nervous and not know why, but your brain takes that out. If you start to train your eyes or your brain to want to see that, then you can start to see them more. I go in the woods and I relax my eyes, kind of like looking at a 3D poster, mm-hmm. and I focus on the air in between me and the next object, the tree. Focus on the air, focus to see something in that blank area, and then start looking around, and I can start to see different beings, kind of, it's like a predator.
Wow. Okay. Now that's kind, a little
kind
freaky
of little watery things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. People, this is a Bigfoot term I've learned, is the cloaking, that right. Bigfoot can be invisible.
Okay.
And, but you can train your eyes and your brain to accept that information and look for it. So you can start to see them in that, which I think is maybe in another dimension or different frequency, things like that. I do know I have a few things that are odd from other people. Like I have the extra cone in my eye,
okay.
That 2% of women have. So I can see more color definitions than most people. And, you know, I think the ADD is maybe... that people are psychic or using more extra sensory things, that you're actually taking in more information than the average person. So you've got so much going on. You're not just seeing and hearing, but you're feeling and getting all these different things, because so many people that I've met lately that are labeled psychic have ADHD or ADD, you know. So
right.
I think you're just using more of your senses than others. And it is more childlike. I just go around la 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 la. And not so big on the schedules and everything. So so I notice more, you know, not staring at my phone and I'm looking up in the trees. And
well, Samara, let me ask you this. Now, the way you've been describing Sasquatch sounds more like Sasquatch as a being that mainly exists in a different dimension, that it's not so much a being that is in this dimension. Is that fair to say?
I don't know. It's just kind of my theories. I have seen them very physical. So
they do, you know, materialize three-dimensionally in this dimension.
Definitely. Yeah. I've met so many people who have seen them in the physical form and then they disappear. And it's a lot of men. You mentioned earlier about, you know, my husband with the man's got to protect. I think that's one thing a lot of men, why they get so scared, because they're like, you know, it seems like a lot of the women are like, oh, you know, I was there, and people are like, why didn't you run? And, you know, and to me, when I've seen them just standing in front of me, I'm like, oh, it'd be rude to run. You know, I mean, like that's what comes to mind. Like, I'm just like, well, I'll wait and see what happens. You know, if they're going to eat me, then, you know, that's on them. But I've never really felt threatened like I have with a man, you know, that's making rude comments or things like that. I mean, I'm a lot more scared of human men in the woods than I am of Sasquatch. And I've run into bear several times in the woods where it's just me and the bear. And again, you know, his body language looked scared, startled. And then so I like relaxed my body language and, you know, just kind of, oh, I'm not a threat, I'm not here to hurt you. And then he relaxed and walked away. So, you know, it wasn't a bad experience. I didn't never want to go out in the woods again. But men, I think because they're so used to not feeling so vulnerable as women do, because women, you know, you worry
maybe
about going out in the woods by yourself.
Maybe it's even more of a primal thing between about men, that they see something and it's fight or flight.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And you know, I would imagine it would be very scary for a man to encounter this and think, how am I going to protect my family against that? Mm-hmm. You know, my family is counting on me. And here I have a friend that I actually wrote 20 pages in his book, Dr. Matthew Johnson, and he's a psychologist. Well, it took 20 years for him, I think, to admit that the first time he saw Sasquatch, that it disappeared. He saw the Sasquatch and then it disappeared. And he was terrified and cried. You know, when he talked about the incident, he was on a TV show on Good Morning America and things like that. And he would tear up about it because he couldn't, you know, save his family. So he started out, you know, hunting it, kind of, you know, treating it as an ape, and then eventually came around to see, you know, more of the healing side, and they healed him, prostate cancer and things like that. So there's lots of stories of this, but, you know, they help you to see what you need to work on. And fear is the opposite of love. Fear causes so many problems, wars, all of that, things that are different.
Well, let's talk about that here in the next segment. We need to take a break, but when we come back, we will talk about that opposite side of fear. We'll talk a little bit about love. We'll talk a little bit about healing, and we'll talk about why exactly Sasquatch would come forward to you, Samara, and to other people, and would want to help us if we are in such fear of these creatures, and if our response a lot of the time is to fear these creatures. So Mara Terpening is our guest. We're talking a bit about Sasquatch and her experience with Sasquatch, and not only what they took, what they take from us, but what they give to us as well. And what she received from Sasquatch, that's coming up next here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Beyond the Darkness.
Welcome back to the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness. I'm Tim Dennison for Dave Schrader. Our guest is Samara Terpening, and we are talking about not only what her experience was with Sasquatch, but what she's getting from Sasquatch. A fascinating story, Samara, in that not only did you just have your, I don't want to say, there's no such thing as a run-of-the-mill experience with Sasquatch, but but not only did you have your experience and start to communicate with Sasquatch or see Sasquatch on a regular basis, but now we get to the part of the story that really gets interesting. You have these ailments that are starting to get better. You're starting to feel less chronic pain, and you have some pretty serious chronic pain, and your ailments are starting to lighten themselves up, and they're showing you different ways to heal yourself, and mm-hmm. you're learning things from them, and they're giving back to you. Of all things. And, yeah. and I guess my first question is, why?
It's kind of like what I talked about before, the universe, Sasquatch, elementals, they kind of give back what you put out, equal and opposite. So one time I was out in the woods. I had... we were going to this new camping spot, and I had told the Sasquatch, just talk to the woods. I just assume they're always listening. Mm-hmm. And I just held up this little Samara. My name, it's the seeds of like the elm trees that spin around, the little helicopters, and you drop them and they spin around.
Yeah.
That's a Samara, those seeds. So I said, my name is Samara. And this is a Samara, and I held it up. And the next time I went there, I had a really bad headache. My husband and stepson had dropped me off, and they left to go get some food and firewood. And I thought, well, I will just get rid of some of this negative energy in my head, and maybe that'll help my headache. Now, I hadn't had any training. I just kind of did it intuitively. So I had seen a Qigong video on YouTube, and so I just started to do that. Just pull, imagine the negative energy coming out of my head, and I was just pulling it out with imaginary extensions on my fingers and putting it in the ground. And then I, cleared my chakras, and it's all intent. I just imagined these things and had the negative energy that no longer served me go down into the earth to be composted and recycled for good energy. All this new hippie stuff I was learning. And when I got done, I felt better. It had been about 10 minutes. And so I decided to send light and love and energy out to the universe. And there was a little Buddhist prayer I had found online. It was basically, may all beings be healed and be whole and protected and free from fear, awakened, liberated, free, have what they want and need. And I pictured light coming out from me, going out to the whole universe, just as far as I could imagine it. And I was like, oh, I feel better. My headache my headache seems to be gone. And I opened my eyes, and right in front of me were three huge piles of Samaras. They were the exact same size and exactly the same space apart right in front of me. And I thought, oh my gosh, how sweet. What a wonderful gift. You know, they remembered from the last time I was there. And then I thought, oh my gosh, I didn't know they were here. I thought I could see them in my mind, you know, how sneaky, but you know, how sweet. And then I like heard these little Sasquatch children laughing and giggling, you know, like they were able to sneak in, and you know, and I appreciated the gift, and it was really sweet. But it was like they were rewarding me for doing that. Like that was a good thing. They've also drawn symbols for me. And one that they drew, I looked it up, and the thing I could find on the internet was, it's called the Wheel of Dharma. It was a Buddhist thing. And it says the different things that you need to do. So I followed those different guidelines, I guess. And then later I found out that it was a healing wheel. And, you know, then later it was in ancient Celtic. So it's meant all these different things. But I started to I started finding these different areas in the woods. And I don't know if I was led there, kind of guided telepathically by the Sasquatch, or I was feeling the energy with my body. Sometimes when I do healings of people, I can feel energy kind of like pushing magnets away from each other.
Okay.
I can tangibly feel energy or feel like staticky or things that are thick, like sticky spider webs, things like that. Mm-hmm. And so I started finding these areas out in the woods that filled me up. Like when I was in Northern Ireland, my husband took me to this place. It was beautiful, like most of Northern Ireland. But I was just sitting there admiring the water and the trees and everything. And I said, you know, this place, I don't want to leave. I feel so powerful, was the word that came to mind. And he giggled and said, oh, I knew you'd be able to feel it. This is where the ley lines cross and, you know, all that. But this, I've been led to these areas out in the woods or felt them. And I go there and I just soak up the energy. And that's helped me to heal. And then the symbol that they drew for me also is like the toroidal flow, which I hadn't heard of that before, but it's kind of like the earth aura and the energy moving in with Qigong and Reiki and all these different things I've learned to have the energy flow through. So when I was laying in bed in all this pain and mental anguish and everything was just sticking, I had these walls up, but walls also keep things in, and I needed to let things go. So there's lots of things they showed me along the way that we need to let go of that energy and be in the moment and you know, not let the past hold you down or taint the current moment. And that's helped me heal. I went out and kind of made this little offering. I heard that you were supposed to give them tobacco or sweet grass or sage and as an offering. And so I took some out and hung it on a branch. And they said, oh, no, you're supposed to burn it. And I'm like, burn it? So I went out and I tried to burn the sweet grass, but it didn't light like sage. And it kept falling down. And again, I hear the Sasquatch giggling at me, trying to, you know, do this ceremony. Anyway, I'm like, this is for you. I'm trying to honor you with this. So I'm going to do this. And, you know, I was laughing at myself. They have a great sense of humor. So, you know, I did this and tried to light it. And then I wound up just hanging the sweetgrass in the tree again. And then I looked up and there were two Sasquatch just standing there. I could see their whole bodies, and they were pretty big. I'd say about 8 or 9 feet tall. They're about the same size and very black. I see a lot of black ones out in the woods. It's almost like you look in the shadow areas and there's no, you know, in the shadows of the tree, you can see depth and see the leaves in the darkness. Mm-hmm. But then there's some areas that are solid black, like a black hole, or very, very solid black, and they are in the shape of Sasquatch, where these two were not very far from me at all. I'd say maybe 15 feet. And I could see them, but then my mind's saying, well, that one could be a rock, and that's just a shadow. And I said, no, I can see the fur, you know, the hair sticking out, everything. But their faces were covered. One had a little tree trunk covering the face, and the other one had a bush, so I couldn't see their face. And I think they hide that because they don't want to scare us. They really, it hurts them a lot when we think of them as monsters.
Okay.
Or we're scared of them. But they both just stood there. So I said hello, and they just stood there still as could be. And I was looking at him, wondering what I should do. I talked to him in my mind, and nothing. I didn't get anything. And then I thought, well, maybe I should walk a little bit closer. So I looked down because there wasn't a path in front of me. I had to maneuver over things. And when I looked back up, they were gone. So while I was standing there, I didn't get anything. Just kind of felt like they were scanning me, searching for something. I mean, that's just the impression I got. It wasn't a physical scanning. Then after that, I slept for like 2 days. I was so tired. And then my back pain was better. I didn't need a wheelchair after that. I could stand for, you know, an hour. I could be out of bed for, it started to be 4 hours a day I could be out of bed. Then it was 6 hours a day, which was a big jump for me. And I could sit on the ground without pain, or, you know, or minimal pain. And then it, you know, would start building up like it used to, but it was so much better. And then I went, I was talking about Dr. Johnson's area where he's had all sorts of incredible things happen. And I went out there and I could see the shapes I was talking about, like the shadowy shapes that they had little sparkles around them, which I think is the aura maybe, teeny tiny little sparkles around them. And I saw one reach his hand out and touch Dr. Johnson's hand. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'd love to touch him. So, you know, I went walking out there. There was another lady there who's a mental health professional too. So if I was crazy, I think her job was actually to commit people into the hospital. So, okay. So I feel pretty safe that, you know, one of them would have helped me out.
She would have put the jacket on you, huh?
Hopefully. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, so it was pretty incredible, you know, to have them there with me. And I put my hand out and I could see the Sasquatch in my mind's eye. But with my real eyes, I just saw little sparkles and bits of smoke, you know, that are plasma, whatever. but I couldn't see him, the one that was standing in front of me, but I knew he was there. And then I put my hand up and asked if he'd touch me. And I saw like a little bit of finger, you know, as approached mine. But when he touched me, it was like static electricity. And he just felt like pure love and compassion. Maybe when they're in the physical form, their energy, because it does seem a little different when they're in the physical form, the energy. Mm-hmm. And I think maybe being on this plane and having a body where you have to feed it, you know, that kind of thing changes the energy a bit. But I go by the energy more than what my eyes are seeing or my brain is interpreting, because, you know, things can appear differently. I have had experiences with what people would call demons.
Well, now, before we get to that, I've got to ask this question. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. you I'm going to rewind a little bit, because you did mention that they don't want to be looked at as monsters, or it hurts them to be looked mm-hmm. at as monsters. But yet that's how we look at them. That's how we classify them. That's how, when we do shows like this, people talk about them.
Yeah, Monster Quest.
And in that, so they keep coming forward. They keep saying hi. They keep rapping on houses. They keep coming forward and taking offerings. And in that, why do they keep trusting? Then why do they keep coming forward? If they know that we have a certain, for lack of a better term, stereotype about Sasquatch, then why do they keep trying to make the connection? Why don't they just say at one point, you know what, these humans are never going to change. There's only a sliver of them that are going to. We know the difference between those who love us or can give an unconditional love and those who are just jerks. Why don't we just take the 10% and throw the 90 out?
Yeah. Yeah, that would be an easy thing to do. But I think because, well, one, they do know us better than we know ourselves. And that's kind of one thing as I've been going on along this journey, and they are helping me to develop these extrasensory or, you know, the third eye, whatever. I didn't know what an empath was. And then I found out that was a lot of my physical problems, was I was taking other people's energies and I was letting people take my energy. And I think they just want to help us to grow spiritually, you know, physically. They look for people who have good hearts and that they think they can help to change. And they've had me try to work with people. It's kind of a gift that I have with working with some, you know, men who are like, oh, I got to go kill them. I saw one and it was scary. And I said, well, you know, you said you had your gun, but you didn't point your gun at them. Why didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you left some of the deer that you were cutting up for them. Why did you do that? You know, like different things and get them to think and you know, maybe change from them being this terrible, scary monster because they didn't actually do anything or, you know, but I also think that there are other more physical beings that appear like Sasquatch. You know, down south, I've heard some stories of,
like the skunk ape and things like that?
Yeah, things like that. Like, mm-hmm. Maybe that's not what
that's not
I know
Sasquatch.
Sasquatch and a lot of the other people. It could be a different type. I mean, really, how do you know?
Yeah.
How do you know what you're seeing is what somebody else is seeing or their experiences? I'm not saying those people's stories aren't real. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, everybody has their own experiences, and certainly I don't think that people would make that up, you know, on a whole. There's probably some people, but, you know, and people are very terrified. A lot of times when they tell their story, the being didn't actually do anything
mm-hmm.
to hurt them.
Right.
But I have heard a few stories where they do things that are different and appear to look different, have different amount of toes or things like that. So I don't know. I do know other people who've said that their Sasquatch they talk to say that there are other beings that the Sasquatch get blamed for what they do.
Okay.
So there could be other things out there. I do know that the Sasquatch, they protect people. And I do love children. You talked about, you know, them using their children to lure other children away.
Mm-hmm.
I've had my children out by them and my granddaughter. And I actually have a picture of a Sasquatch right next to my son's head. He was 11. And at the time, I didn't see the Sasquatch. We could both hear them and knew they were there, could sense them. But in the photos, as my son was walking up, he blended into the trees so well. And then as my son got closer, he came in. It was almost like reflecting my son. And you can see to one side of the tree where it changes color and it reflects my son's clothes. The top half is the blue, like his shirt, and the bottom is gray. So there are some Native American stories where they rub stuff on their fur to hide. Okay. So they could be reflecting. There's, you know, all sorts of different theories. And I'm fairly new at this. It's been about 2.5 years since my first experience, and it just keeps getting wild.
It's been a short amount of time. What do they get out of this? I mean, you know, they're coming forth and they're helping us, and that's very selfless of them, but what are they getting out of it? I mean,
well, when I go out, I send energy to them too. And I think there's something about being on this third dimension that by having somebody that's solid in this dimension or something helps them, or it's easier for them, or they can use the energy. Like I said, I can absorb this energy and I let it flow through me, not give from myself. And a lot of us, the dramas that we have in our life is just trying to get attention or energy from other people. But if you can get it unlimited from the earth, you know, and you do that and you fill yourself up and you're always full with energy, it can overflow and go and give back. And one thing that they've had me do is to teach the children. So the children practice on me and my husband, and they'll like tell us to go this way or that way. It's kind of like hide and seek, you know, oh, we're up here, and we start going that way, and they get so happy that we can hear them, you know, to practice communicating telepathically with humans. I had one time, and this is a strange story. Every time I tell it, I can't believe the words are coming out of my mouth. But I was cleaning out my hairbrush, and I just got this prompting, you know, don't throw it away. And I'm like, what? Save my hair? But I've learned to, you know, the more I listen to this prompting, which is, you know, what I would have called the Holy Spirit or, you know, God. It's very similar type of communication. These promptings.
Okay.
That's, I call it the universe or the divine, you know. But just sometimes I know who's giving it to me, and sometimes it's just, you know, just I just say the divine. But so I thought, well, maybe I'm supposed to leave it for a bird or something. And anyway, then we were going to this new area. We had been there once before and heard them respond in the trees and stuff, tree knocking. And so I thought I should bring them a gift, which I don't normally do. I don't leave food and all that out for them like a lot of other researchers do. So
why don't you, just to be curious?
Well, wow, there's so many. In the beginning, the man that I contacted, the professional, he said I should leave gifts out in my yard for them, and he said they like dog food. Well, I thought that was rude. I wouldn't leave dog food out. I thought of them more as people than an animal. And even just leaving food out, I mean, I would want to give somebody the food, not just leave it in the backyard. And we have raccoons and things like that. So I put out shells and rocks and things like that. And then during my meditation, I saw a Sasquatch walk out to my table and pick up the rock that said peace on it. And he put it to his heart. And then he set it back down. And I thought, oh, that was beautiful. And then I looked outside, and the rock had been moved. So it was like them showing me that. And I think that they move things or take gifts to make the humans happy. Okay. You know, and it is a form of communication. You know, and the gifts, like my husband didn't want to, you know, he was having a hard time when I was saying they were coming to the house. And I was really obsessed and talking about them all the time because I just couldn't believe it. It was just so crazy and so magical and so exciting. And they stuck a feather under the window and, you know, they were leaving little gifts for him to, you know, I guess show their intention and things. And by healing us and helping us to appreciate each other and the world more, you know, I think that helps them. Because what we do on this planet affects all different dimensions, so I've heard.
Okay.
But, you know, there are other beings living here with us. And so when we, you know, trash the earth, it affects them too. And they have to learn to live with us. So they've, you know, had me teach the children with the telepathy. This doll I made out of my hair, I finally, you know, thought, oh, I should make a gift. And I thought, oh, I should gift my hair like they've given me a gift. And I saw this little Sasquatch girl and thought, you know, in my mind, she just popped in there. And I thought, oh, I'll make a little doll out of my hair. So I made this little doll. My husband came in and said, what are you doing? I said, I'm making a hair doll. And he said, oh, that's not creepy. but he did give me the history behind, you know, that was very common in the past. And it's not an unusual thing, you know, but now today, that is a very unusual thing. And
no,
and when I, yeah, and then I'm taking this doll out to the woods and I'm thinking, this is nuts. And as soon as we got to the new area, because I didn't know, you know, who was there. I just had heard some tree knocking. As soon as we got to the new area, there was this little footprint, a little barefoot footprint just right there, you know, kind of telling me that there was a little child there. And then they spoke to my husband, and he confirmed that too, that she was testing, and like she was really excited that I listened to her. And yeah, and then later she ran by my car. I brought a friend from Kansas there. She ran right by me. They're super fast. But anyway, I think they learn from us. It's about getting along and having relationships and coexisting and sharing love. And, you know, it's just like why you would want to have a relationship with any other person.
So make the transition for me here from Sasquatch healing you and your husband or putting that healing into you to all of a sudden Sasquatch saying to you or getting to you that point of saying, all right, Samira, it's time now for you to go out and heal others. How does that happen? How does that transition happen?
One thing they did was to show me that dream time. Like dreams aren't just dreams. Sometimes there's dreams where you're just jumping around and things are random. But sometimes I have dreams that are very strong and real. Very vivid, lots of emotion, and those I believe happen. The first one they did, and it was right after I made a comment online that I think we just dream about Sasquatch because we're thinking about them all the time. I don't think they're really contacting us in our dreams. So right after that, I had a dream of a mom and baby Sasquatch walking around our campsite looking at things and everything. And then I woke up to my son saying, Mom, there's little teeny footprints and medium footprints. I think a mom and baby were walking around our campsite. And there were little footprints everywhere that I had seen in my dream, them in the campsite. And then it just kept happening from that day. I would have a dream about, you know, this certain object. And I'd wake up and that object would be, you know, outside or, you know, different things like that. And then they started to show me in my dreams how to heal people. They would take me to heal people in the dreams. And so I started to do that. And one, I just was practicing with people on the internet that I hadn't met. And I just say, can I send you energy? Well, I first started sending energy and I started to feel it tangibly coming out the palm of my hand. And then this other lady, she said she couldn't go out Sasquatching because she was still too sick, you know, until she got better, she said. So I said, can I send you energy? I started to send her energy, just thinking, you know, maybe I'll feel the energy come out. But I started to see flesh coming together and infection being scooped out. And I've had a year of anatomy and kinesiology to work in urgent care and things like that. So it was very vivid and clear, this infection coming out, tissue coming together, and then diabetes popped into my head. So I messaged her on Facebook because I didn't know her at all. And I just said, oh, you know, this is what happened. I saw this and I didn't want to put, do you have diabetes? Cause, you know, people label psychic and think, oh, a psychic said I have diabetes and worry. So I was wondering how to put that. And then you know, and I had already sent my other bit about seeing the flesh come together. So then I said, oh, have you been tested for diabetes? I thought that was a safe thing to put. And as soon as I hit the enter key, her response came back from before. And she said, yeah, she tore her Achilles tendon and it got infected. So the stitches ripped. So they had to scrape out the infection, sew it back together, which is what I saw. And then she said, I have diabetes, so it's taking a long time to heal. And that was like, you know, I didn't know this woman at all. As far as I knew, she had a cold, and that's why she couldn't go out in the woods. So that was the first time things started to come to me. Then I was referred to the same group, this lady who had breast cancer. And I thought, well, you know, I can't do anything for that. Again, it's not me. It's the energy coming through me. So I'm not saying I can magically heal people. But this lady came to me and she said she had breast cancer and that I had helped some other people. So I said, oh, yeah, I'll send you some energy. Well, with her, when I started to send the energy, I immediately like got swept up in, I guess, like a vision or something. It felt like I was transported out into space and I fused with another energy that I could only call God, source, spirit. I mean, it was huge, pure love. It was just euphoric. And we just picked her up from this way off in the distance was Earth and just kind of picked her up and held her between our hands floating. So she's just floating between our giant hands. And she started vibrating. It was kind of violently shaking. And then I heard in my mind vibrating so the illness can't stick. And then she went limp. And I thought, oh, no, she's going to die. And then all of a sudden, this bright white light started pulsing from her chest. And then I was told that the cancer was gone at this moment. But she wasn't ready to let it go, so it would be smaller. And so I told her this. And then 3 weeks later, she went to her regular scheduled doctor's appointment. And the cancer had shrunk for the first time. She sent me a message and she said, I want people to know that you healed a mass from 3.3 to 2.5. And you knew that it had shrunk. Tell them. And I just couldn't believe it that, you know, what I had experienced was real, you know, it was validated. And then things kept just coming to me later, what she needed to do to work on emotional healing, things to eat, colors to wear, things like that, that kept coming to me. And so I'd tell her what to do and she would do it. Just so many healings like that where I've worked on somebody. You know, they said, oh, yeah, you can work on me. And I didn't tell them when. And as soon as I got done, you know, they contact me. Did you just work on me? I was vibrating in my bed and I felt all this. And it was going along with the experience that I had. It's just been just magical, just truly magical. This energy, you know, that I'm able to use, but it's not uncommon. There's lots of history, you know, you call it prana or, you know, all the different modalities of healing. It's all throughout history that our ancestors have used to heal each other. It's just, we kind of got away from that, when they, you know, started using leeches and things like that in the Dark Ages to some of the crazy things that they did in quote unquote medicine to try and heal people. But before that, the people who knew how to heal with the herbs and everything were killed for being witches or things like that.
But, right. You're getting a little far away there, Samara.
Sorry.
From the microphone. There
I get, oh, sorry. I just was getting kind of wrapped up in emotional in that.
That's okay. That's it one sounded thing like with, maybe you were being pulled away by one of those Sasquatch.
Yeah.
What now? I gotta ask you this: as you're healing these people, and as you're getting, you know, affirmations from them that this is working, are you also in turn getting an affirmation before it happens from the Sasquatch that they're saying, you know what, this is happening, you're doing the right thing, you're succeeding, and in that are they saying thank you because they're getting some sort of energetic return as well?
Sometimes they're very much involved. Sometimes in the healings, there's other beings, like angels, are really common. And it's very interesting. The Sasquatch energy is very similar to angel energy. It's just more playful, and sometimes the angel energy is very serious. This is the work we need to do. But when I was a child, I had a really high fever. They gave me an ice bath to get the fever down.
Mm-hmm.
And they said if they couldn't get the fever down, we'd have to go to the hospital. They were able to get it down to 104. I remember they were really excited about that. So I thought 104 is good. And so they're like, well, we'll have to take her in the morning. And during the night, I woke up and I saw a man on the other side of the room, and he was floating, just kind of hovering above the ground. And he had light coming from the inside of him, like those happy lights, you know, that you get, gives the daylight energy and it's supposed to make you happy. It was that kind of pure white light. And I was scared. I thought, oh my gosh, you know, there's a man floating and glowing. And so I like blinked my eyes to, you know, make sure I was awake and really seeing this. And when I blinked my eyes and opened them again, all of a sudden he was right next to me, which just made my heart jump. And then he put his hands up and I felt peace and love, and I just knew I'd be okay, and I went to sleep. And the next day my fever was gone, all the symptoms were gone. I can't remember what it was that I had at the time, but I just, you know, knew that some man had come to the house to help my parents, take me to the hospital and watch the kids. So that the angel energy, which people have said, you know, it could have been a star being, I don't know. They could all be the same, the others, you know.
Right.
But there was the Sasquatch. I was practicing. There's a group of people who get together with my mentor, Anna. She holds these groups where you just kind of practice on each other and you say, you know, what comes to you and see, you know, what the other person says. Well, this woman, when I was trying to do a reading on her, I saw her as a child, and I knew it was through the Sasquatch's eyes that I was seeing her, and that they had been watching her since she was a child. And so when I told her this, I said, you know, you were little and you had glasses and you had, you know, and there was this bridge. It was a flat bridge, and there's cattails and all this stuff. You know, I'm just describing the area. And she just had her jaw open. She goes, yeah, I used to play down there all the time. I spent all my days down there. And I said, well, they're telling me, the Sasquatch, that they want you to be more like that when you go into the woods and stop being so analytical. And I thought that was a strange word, analytical. I would not use that to describe somebody in the woods. You know, it wasn't a thought that I came up with. And I said, are you analytical? And she goes, oh, yeah. I take my books out and I try and identify feathers and plants and all this stuff. She's out in the woods looking at the book. And they were trying to say to be more like a child and you would learn more and get more in the woods. And a lot of healing can take place out in the woods. So sometimes the Sasquatch are very involved. And sometimes it's other, you know, energy. I think that we're all connected and that we help each other. Every time I do a healing, I feel wonderful. It helps me to get better. After I was up in the, had that Sasquatch touch me and had some other experiences, my kidney disease, I had stage 3 kidney disease. Mm-hmm. So my kidney function had been under 60% for over 3 years. After that, it was within normal range. Hmm. So, and they were just about to do, they wanted to do a biopsy on me. But since it got better, they said, oh, well, we'll postpone it, and until it gets, you know, bad again, so that we can get a better yield. But it's, so far I haven't had to have surgery. And the PTSD, the agoraphobia, all of those things have been so much better, because I've learned from dealing with the negative energy, or what people would call demons, that love is the strongest emotion and the strongest power. When you're in love and your heart is full of love and compassion, you're more powerful than fear or anger. And that's when I've been my strongest. You know, when I soak up the energy, I'm full of light and love, then the quote-unquote powers or things are the strongest. I've been able to move things without touching them, turn on my touch lamp without touching it, different things like that that people would say are abnormal. But the most powerful or the strongest is when I'm not judging myself. I feel confident and I'm full of love, you know, and I know that I can protect myself from the darkness, from bad things. And I can ask for help from spirit guides, angels, Sasquatch, whatever it is, you know, ask for help.
So let me ask you this, Samara. Two questions. One, is there a group that Sasquatch that can't see Sasquatch or can't communicate with Sasquatch because they're too closed off or closed-minded that you know of?
Oh yes, a lot of people are like that. And there's the Bigfoot community online. I've been learning a lot about that, but there's a lot of internal fighting, and it's such an emotional subject. You know, when you see a Sasquatch, it's emotional, whether it's, you know, epiphany, you're terrified, you're like, oh, there's more out there than what we've been told, what we thought. I mean, it kind of forces you to open up and realize, or you're in denial. You know, there's just so much with that. So people get very set in, you know, this is what I think it is. This is, you know, and like I said, I don't really know. Could be different dimensions, could be here, there could be elementals, could be fairies. I just go by my experiences. And but I do think, even in life, what you put out, you get back. If you are going to a party resenting that you have to go, you know, then you're not going to have a good time. Like, oh, I'm just doing this for my girlfriend, you know, then you're going to be. And it's the same thing. Life reflects back to you what you have. And if you're happy and something goes wrong, you're like, oh, well, you know, I'll just go on. Can't control it. Just go with the flow. You know, like if you're trying to stop the river, it's going to be pretty hard, but you know, you just go with the flow. Bends and curves and things don't go the way that you planned, it still, you know, comes out good in the end. And every person and every experience, I believe, it's not good or bad until we say it's good or bad.
Mm-hmm.
And if you just look at things as a learning experience or just an experience, it's better. And, you know, not blame or resent that it happened, or poor me. We all have the voices in our head. there's a good book on that, The Untethered Soul, where he talks about the voices in our head. And there's one analogy that he uses that when you look at things.
Oh, you're fading out on me here, Samara.
Oh, sorry. Oh. Is that better?
That's better. Yep.
Yeah, sorry. The microphone's kind of slowly scooting down and tighten it. So if you're trying to describe a movie to someone who's blind and deaf, like Helen Keller. You know, you'd have to spell in her hand. It would take a long time, and you would miss a lot of the details. And that's kind of like our brain. When we first see things, we are absorbing so much that it's impossible to say. We don't think and can't speak as fast as our brain is processing everything around. So, you know, if you're trying to describe a movie to somebody that's blind and deaf, it's going to be filtered as if, you know, like going through your mind and your brain and your thinking. But if you go with that first initial impulse that you get in your head, the very first thought, and you go with that, that's like your higher self or your higher knowing giving you the information, because it can process everything so much faster. So I've just kind of gone with my intuition or my first gut feeling, because that's based on your higher knowing, and your brain is processing so much faster than you can sit there and say, well, what about this? Or I should have done that, you know, and you're having this internal dialect. You know, we all have that victim or judge, critic in our mind saying, well, why did you do that? You know, who's talking? It's not us, because we're observing the talking. So, you know, who are you? You're observing this. So that's, you know, if you can get past that distraction, the noise, and just go with your soul, your heart, and your higher knowing, life's just so much easier. Just go with the flow and where the universe directs. And I mean, my life has changed so much since I started doing that. And you know, just trusting the universe or God or whatever you call it, you know, your higher knowing, and following that path, and you can help other people. And I feel so great when I help other people, when I heal, you know, and I'm sending the energy and they have a great experience and they're able to walk or get out of the house or, you know, breathe better or whatever it is, or face their shadow self, which is the hardest thing. And that's one thing that I think that the Sasquatch help people to do. The people who are closed off, where you talked about, you know, the ones who can't see them, or because they can be, I've been with people and I've said, they're right there. There's one right there. We had one walking along this dirt road by our campsite. And I was telling this man, oh, they're right there, and pointing. But he didn't see the Sasquatch walking in plain view, because he just thought when I said they were right there that I was sensing them or heard them, because he wasn't thinking they would actually be right there. So he was focusing on his dog pointing. He's like, oh, they're definitely here. Look at how the dog was behaving. It's pointing and it's barking, and it's not like that, you know. So he missed that, because, you know, it's like, just couldn't comprehend that they would literally just be walking on the road. But he was all excited. Yeah, the dog's pointing. There's evidence, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's again, kind of like the child, like just looking around and not having preconceived ideas.
Absolutely.
Or that they're all cone-headed and red. And I've seen a blonde one flying up this hill. It was incredible. They're very powerful and strong, but.
Absolutely. I think that's a good place to leave it then, Samara. If people want to get a hold of you or want to learn further about you, how would they do that? Do you have a website or an email?
I just I spoke at a conference and I had so many people contacting me, but I haven't set up an official thing. So I guess email would probably be the best. It's Lady, L-A-D-Y, Sam, S-A-M, and my middle name, May, M-A-E. @gmail.com.
Okay, so LadySamMay@gmail.com. And again, a fascinating story. And I tell you, not everybody comes out of the woods having that type of experience, but I suppose we all could, couldn't we?
I know it sounds incredible. I know it sounds incredible, but I just feel like I have to share.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and hopefully other people will have positive experiences like this and you know, have some healing and growth.
Absolutely. Samara Terpening is our guest. And again, if you'd like to get a hold of her, ladysammay@gmail.com is her email address. Folks, join us again tomorrow for another day, another adventure, another day of high strangeness here on the Best in Paranormal Talk Radio. This is Beyond the Darkness.
Into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.